You're with Raf Epstein.
Your unofficial history this week, the glorious, more than 100 kilometres long, mighty Werribee River. From the bay to the Great Dividing Range, the backbone of the suburb, the place of Werribee and its surrounds. We start with the Wadawurrung traditional owner, Barry Gilson, who explained the name.
The Werribee River, or Werribee Loch, or Werribee Loch, Werri meaning a wide stretch of water, and beel or peel meaning river red gum, and loch is short for yellock, meaning the river. And it's sort of shaped like a spine or backbone.
So does it mean spine or backbone? Is that, or does the word not, because a lot of people are taught that that's what that word means, but that's not what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I've got something totally different.
Yeah,
it's sort of, it's probably parts of it that they've called spine or backbone. But what I've said there, Werribee Loch, is the real name of it there.
And it's also portrayed, I think on the Melbourne Water website, as the sort of the natural boundary between the traditional lands of the Woiwurrung and the Bunurong. Is that correct?
Yep, that is totally correct. So from our side, we've got the Marpiang clan, Marpiang Balak. Now, over the other side, the Woiwurrung have got the Karamjang Balak and the Bunurong, the Yalakit Balak. So there's a place on the river there where there's a tree just out of Werribee a bit along the river. It's got footholds in this tree.
Oh.
And you can actually climb up it, or they did climb up it, and I think that was sort of a place where they had meetings between these three tribes. It's a very special tree in a very special spot.
Is that marked out? Can you go and visit that?
Yeah, you'd have to get sort of shown how to get there, I reckon, because
right.
It's a bit hidden. But if you come with me, I'll show you where it is.
Oh, there's so many dates I'm going to pencil into my diary once we get out of these restrictions, Barry.
We had by ears at places like this. By coming from our ancestral Emu creator spirit, by army, and ear meaning to encircle. So a by ear was our term for corroboree down here.
Right.
Which corroboree is a New South Wales term.
Yes, yes.
So we call them by ear down on Wadawurrung country here.
And
it's
Barry,
probably a cooling term also. But
what do you think life was? I mean, give me a bit of an example. I mean, the river's obviously central to life pre-European settlement. What do you think life was like on that river? Which parts of the river were used in what ways? Can you paint me a bit of a picture?
Yeah, well, my ancestors, we call them Leewik. There was a lot of places where they're deeper. So this would have had more fish. Now, we've got a certain species of fish called kawin, a blackfish. Now, the name gives a lesson of how to catch them. Win meaning fire. So as a fish lure, a fire was lit on a piece of bark, say, and laid across a canoe called a klinyang, and it attracted a fish to the surface where
wow.
They could be gaffed or speared with a spear, such as a jika, a reed spear.
But the fish come to the flame. They're attracted by the flame.
Yeah, wow. That's right, because the blackfish are a very elusive sort of species, and they're attracted to the fire. Well, a lot of fish species are of a night time, but they're usually out more of a night time.
What's your favourite part of the river?
I mean, I like all of it. I like the connections that I have with it, connections of plants such as a Minambarang, we call it, which is a Clematis aristata. Now, the roots were eaten and the stems were used for string making and fish nets.
Yeah.
Now, we weave them through rocks with holes in them so the net would sink to the bottom, and then placing pieces of bark on the top of the net, it would make it float. We call them pieces of bark pliat. Now, the net then being dredged towards an erected stone wall or created fence of sticks, we call it a yeriwok. Now,
that's like a fish trap.
Yeah, exactly. So the structure would lead to a dead end where they were speared or directed into a drum net, a nara bayan. So the Minambarang grew all around these areas along the Werribee River.
Wow.
and being a change from the staple diet of the summer, the Murnong daisy. So the Minambarang was used sort of like a boot lace, how it grows.
Right. Oh,
and you can twine them all together, make fishnets.
Barry, I've heard you're a bit of a performer. I know you've got a bit of a song about the river. Can you give us a burst, a 30-second burst of that?
I did. It's for my dad's 80th this Friday. I dedicate the song.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's the best moment I've had on the radio in months, Barry. Thank you so much for your time. That was wonderful.
Very good, Ref.
Barry Gilson from the Wadawurrung Traditional Owners Aboriginal Corporation talking about Werribee River. Wow, that was great. For many of you, the first thing that comes to mind with the Werribee River is the flood. Cameron remembering growing up in the 80s and 90s, at least once a year, the Cottrell Street Ford would flood, cutting Werribee in two, rapids running through the heart of your hometown. It was mesmerising, always attracted hordes of us locals down for a look. Megan agrees, remembering this, moved from the eastern suburbs to Werribee back in 82. December 1st, 1987, it flooded, as it would often. The Cottrell Street Bridge was closed once again for a couple of days. I went into labour. There were only two exits to get out from Old Wyndham Vale, and one was closed. So it took 1 hour to get over the Werribee Street Bridge and then a mad dash to the Mercy Hospital. Made it there, and 20 minutes later, Bubs was born. Leah remembering the flooding in the 90s, being in primary school, being amazed and excited about all of the soccer and basketballs that would wash up days later. Hugh enjoying the river as it is. Raff just about to take the dog for a walk like every day down to the mouth of the river. He enthusiastically runs onto the pontoons at the boat launch to roll in the bird poo. And every day I take 20 seconds to look up the river towards the Yuyangs, watching the birds and the bobbing boats. Werribee South truly is the most spectacular and spectacularly underappreciated spot, and the river is an essential part of that, from the cliffs to the bay. So many of you, actually, Jordan, was it, I think, sending me some amazing bird pictures. Dawn remembers her husband fishing for brim with his father and having some very fond memories. Reese agrees with that, saying on his text, luckily his house backs onto the river, and we're spoilt for bird life, which is amazing. Joe was at Werribee River. Oh, I like this one. My brother had entered the Jesuit Seminary on Old Churnside Homestead in Werribee. I went to visit him. We had a picnic at the Werribee River, listening to the radio and heard the news of Harold Holt disappearing at Portsea. And finally, Denise takes us back 40 years ago to paint the perfect picture. As teens, we used to swim in the Werribee River. There was a mystical spot called Bungee's Hole, where it was reputed to be bottomless and filled with the spirit of the mythical Bungee, which in turn filled us with both fear and excitement as we dared each other to swim in it. There was a rope and a tire tied to a giant eucalypt. That was enough of a run-up. You could land smack in the middle of Bungee's Hole. Summer afternoons filled with laughter, making new friends, stealing teenage kisses behind a tree. It was timeless. And like a scene out of Huck Finn, all us kids in denim cutoffs, sun-drenched skin, wild as the wind. Too quickly, it was home time. We'd pack up our bags and part company to run for the bus home to suburbia. Ah, youth. Oh, Denise, you've given me shivers. And that is your unofficial history this Tuesday of the Werribee River.